desire your prayers. There's a saying that says you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe somebody knows more about dogs than I do, but I don't know if it's true that you can't teach an old dog new tricks or not. But I would say that it is probably easier to teach a dog, a young dog, tricks than it is an old. But you probably could teach an old dog a new trick, but I figure it'd be harder for him to learn than maybe that he could have another time. I'd like to think a little bit this morning about being teachable. I think the desire to be taught is very important to being able to learn, to be able to get new information. It seems to me like that students that don't want to learn are generally just trouble. If they go to school and they don't want to learn, they generally trouble. The best student is generally somebody that wants to know what they're learning. And I think the Lord wants us to be teachable. And I wonder sometimes just how teachable we are. I wonder how teachable people are. I think that you can get just set in your ways. One of the things that makes it necessary to be able to learn is to not know it. You got to not know. And I mean that in this way. If you think you know, if you think there's nothing that you can learn or you know it all, you're not likely to be able to learn. Well, I think the Lord wants us to be teachable. He wants to be able to teach us. And for us to be teachable, we've got to acknowledge that we don't know and that we need to know. I think it was Brother Sammons or Brother Tony one. It seems like it was Brother Sammons. Anyway, one of them had mentioned about going to barber school, and the first thing that the barber said, the instructor said when they started their class was, is how many people in here know how to cut hair? And a number of people said, I know how to cut hair. And the instructor says, forget what you know. Just forget what you know and let's start off and teach it right. And get it until you can understand it. Learning a lot of times comes by line upon line. Precept upon precept. When I was in school, I remember in math, especially, and I'll admit this, I was a terrible student. I didn't disrupt class and do all that kind of stuff, but I did not want to know what they was trying to teach me for the most part. And I wasn't interested in learning. To me, I had to go to school. Mom and Dad said I did. The law said I did. And so I went. But they could make me go, but they couldn't make me learn. And I regret the years that I wasted in school because I think I could have learned a lot of things that would have been valuable to me, but I didn't want to learn. I didn't want to know. I wasn't teachable. And in math, especially the different parts of math, I had math, I had algebra, I had geometry and those things, and it come natural to me, and as what come natural to me was easy for me to do, I would do. But if it went beyond that, the teacher, I remember, said now on different occasions, now you need to know this. You need to learn this because this is only setting you up for the next thing you've got to learn. If you don't learn this, you're going to do this. Like I said, I'd done fairly well without having to. The times the teacher would say, now here are some things you got to do. You're going to have to know the formula for working this. You're going to have to memorize the formula. Well, memorizing things was work, and work I didn't want to do, so I didn't do the memory of it. And so when the test time come, I would usually make a pretty good score, except for what I was supposed to work on. And then I didn't know it. Because I wasn't teachable. In order to go on and learn more and more, many times there has to be a place that you learn this. You got to learn this. I think the Lord knows that too. And you know, the Lord is interested in us learning. He's interested in taking us farther. He's interested in us in understanding, but there's places that the Lord stops. We stop because we're not teachable in that. So Lord, help us. We're going to look at the idea of being teachable over in the 105th Psalm. Oh, 22nd verse says, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. The word here, senators, I think just means, or it'd be probably better to be said, seniors. The Lord wants to be able to teach his elders, his seniors, his people. He wants to be able to teach them wisdom. Well, we don't have the old heads here anymore. We used to make a lot of phone calls to Brother Jim's number. Because Brother Jim wasn't an overly educated person, but the Lord had, I believe the Lord had taught Brother Jim wisdom. He had been able through the lessons of life to teach him something. I remember on a number of occasions going to Brother Jim and saying, Brother Jim, I'd like to ask you something. I've got this here, Daryl, going. This is what's happening. What would you do? And Brother Jim would say, well, Brother Marty, let me tell you how the Lord dealt with me. And he would give me some very sound counsel. I said to somebody the other day, I think it was just yesterday, I said, if Brother Jim was still around, I'd call him and ask him about this because he'd probably know. But Brother Jim ain't here. So we don't have any older, we don't have no senior, we don't have no senators anymore. We don't have no old people. Brother Mark's gone. Brother Mark a lot of people used to call Brother Mark and ask Brother Mark, Brother Mark, what's the Lord taught you on this? What's the Lord said about this? Well, we aren't really realizing, but we're becoming seniors. We're people that's living life too. The reason why they knew when they got older, what the Lord's wanting to do here is teach us. And you know what? Brother Jim didn't just end up an old man and the Lord say, well, I'm going to decide to teach you wisdom. Now that you're 87 years old, I'm going to teach you wisdom. No, the Lord wants to teach wisdom that his senators, his elders, his seniors are learned. They know the answers. Got some answers. We can, some things to call on. Well, I used to think 51 years old was an old man. 51 ain't an old man. I'm 51. And 51 don't seem like an old man anymore. But you know, I was thinking about this and all of a sudden I begin to realize that I've been saved for 26, 27. Well, I don't even remember. I've been saved for a long time. But have I been teachable? The Lord wants to teach us. The only way for the Lord to teach us is for us to be teachable. The lessons are there. The lesson plan is wrote out already. We're in school. And the Lord wants to teach us some things that we'll know and be able to positively tell the younger ones in our congregations, our children's children. The Lord wants to be able to teach us some things that somebody's going to have some confidence to be able to call and say, I'm in a way, I want to know how the Lord works. And us to be able to say, well, I don't know. We don't know everything. But to be able to say, I know how the Lord's worked with me. So he says he wants, I believe this is talking about, I believe we can use this as God's people. He wants to be able, this scripture, the commentators, at least one commentator said this expression was of love. To bind his princesses at his pleasure and teach the senators wisdom was a statement of love. He wants to bind himself to his people. He wants to bind his knowledge to his people. He wants to give understanding to his people. In a world that we live in, to where this is being said, all these falsehoods are out there in the world. The Lord wants to be able to teach a people that they'll know what the answers to these things are. Do we really to understand what wisdom is? Over in the 86th Psalm. David wrote this psalm, says, "Teach me the way, O Lord. Teach me the way." You know why he said it? He didn't know. He didn't know. "Teach me the way. Lord, help us to be teachable. Help us to be teachable. Help us to have a desire to want to be taught. Lord, I want to know what the answer is. I'm a firm believer in standards. But you know what I'm a believer in more than church standards? Individual people that wants to know what the answers are. I know we can go and say, what have this old faithful saints done? That's good. And you're going to find a lot of faithful living. You're going to find a lot of what God's done for people in there. But David says, teach me, Lord, the way. There's something valuable about finding an answer in your own life. There's something that is my own conviction. The Lord's taught me. What happens is that we become not teachable many times. We're not really teachable. To be really teachable, I believe that we ought to, as individuals, find the answers from God, being teachable of the Lord, that the Lord would teach us. You know, if you or anybody just starts dressing the way everybody dresses because everybody dresses that way, and that's all that they have, you know, really they don't have much. Do you know, if I just start doing what you're doing because I like you all, so I'm going to start doing what you do, what if I start not liking you so much? What if you change? I change? I want to change because you change. Well, there's so many variables in us just following along that way. You know what? The Lord wants to teach us individually why we do what we do. We all ought to, all of us ought to look in the mirror and say, is this acceptable? We all ought to say, Lord, is my life being pleasing to you? Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? This, David says, teach me the way, because he didn't know it. Oh Lord, I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, he was saying, unite my heart with fear. Don't allow me to be outside the idea of what I do in the fear of God. That I may go off into a way or an area in my life. Unite my heart with fear. That I would walk right. That I would be teachable. That you can be able to talk to me and tell me something. I wonder sometimes how teachable we are. I wonder, you know what, I know this. The reason why I really believe that we all ought to have a desire for the Lord to teach us is because we're so adverse to somebody teaching us. we can be so adverse to somebody suggesting that we got a problem. Suggesting that something's not right in our life. Suggesting that there's something that we're doing that's leading us away. Suggesting, any suggestion of that most usually is not accepted well. But David, I think, had a real desire in his heart to be teachable. He said, Lord, teach me your way. Teach me how I ought to go. Teach me. Now, I say this in life because this is really where my burden's going. How are we going to be teachable? By what methods? The way I would prefer to be taught is a dream. Dreams are nice because you wake up. Dreams, I like the dream idea. Lord, give me a dream. Or lightning and thunder is good. Something to get my attention towards it and then give it to me I like audible voices. I like for the impression. But how is it, what's it going to take to be teachable? I want to look at a scripture over in Isaiah. How valuable is the subject to which you want to know about? Has to do with how teachable you will be in it. When you really want to know something, now Keith ain't here today, but if he was here, he would shake his head and grin at this, probably. He's acknowledged in the last year that he's got into raising some cattle, and he's acknowledged that he didn't know a lot about it and he needed to learn. And listen, he went at it. He went at it the way Keith goes at most of the day. He went at it. And he's learning. You know why he's learning? He wants to know everything there is to know so he can be successful with doing it. That's why he wants to know. Why it's important for him to know how to do it, how to feed them, how to water them, how to give them shots, how to do all that. The reason it is because it's very, very important to the success of what he's doing. So it is with what we're doing too. Why do we want to be teachable? Why must we be teachable? Why must we know how to do it? It's because the success we have in it is dependent on our knowledge of it. It's dependent on knowing the way. That's why David said, Lord, teach me. Teach me to know. What is it going to take for me to learn? I'm going to tell you the way I learn. I like to have usually a hot chocolate in the morning when I get up. So the other day, I made me this big hot chocolate. And I thought, I like a little vanilla in it. So I looked and it wasn't in this cabinet. So I took my hot drink over and I set it right below the cabinet. Opened the door up and looked in there. And there is vanilla in there. And there's a bottle of almond flavoring in there. And as I got the vanilla flavoring out, I drug this little bottle of almond out, and it come missling out of the cabinet right into my hot chocolate, and the hot chocolate erupted out of there and just went all over the place, just kaploo, and I had about this much hot chocolate left, and the rest of it's on the cabinet and on the floor and on me. And after that time, I've made myself 4 or 5 hot chocolates in the morning. But I never set my cup under that cabinet. And every time I go over there, I say, I won't do that again. Do you know what you learn? You know why you learn what you learn most of the time by? The things that don't go right. You know there's something valuable, the very teachable. You ever hear the saying, a teachable moment? I had a teachable moment. I don't do that again. You know something else I don't do anymore? I don't take big blocks of wood and throw them off of a truck into another big pile of wood without being very careful. Because about 15 years ago I done that, and there was one that was seesawed on a log there, and I threw a big log off, and it threw that right up and hit me right between the eyes. And so every time I'm about to do that, I remember the teachable moment. I remember that caused me pain. That's not the way to do it. It would be nice to go through life. It would be wonderful going through life and this voice say, Marty, don't throw that log off of there. Okay, I won't. Don't sit your chocolate under there. Okay, I won't. Be wonderful for it to be that easy, that gentle to go through life with it. But you know, none of that's memorable. None of that's memorable. You ever have somebody say something to you that hurt you? You ever have somebody say something to you that offends you or hurt you, and it was very unpleasant? You know what me and my wife say at that time when those things happen? After we say, ouch, 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 that hurt. I know what not to do to other people. I just learned something. I learned something very valuable. It hurts to say things like that about people. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe there was a little truth to it. Maybe it was totally true and it was said in a way that was... Maybe it was totally true and none of that, but it hurt anyway. It makes me to know. I've understood something. In Isaiah 30 and 20, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not the teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Now I know this has a particular meaning to it, but to me, the statement's pretty clear what it means to me. It means to me that the Lord's gonna leave your teachers. That life is going to be able to bring you to a place of wisdom. I'm gonna have understanding. If I'll be teachable, I can understand some things. I'll know some things. I won't have to be confused about some things. You know what we need individually more than anything else? Our own convictions. Our own personal convictions. Why don't you do this? This is why I don't do that. I don't have to say because I've got a history of people in my life that haven't done it. But I've learned for myself what the Lord has taught me. Lord, help us to be pliable and teachable in this thing called life. That we can understand more and more how to have relationships. How to get along with one another. What to say and not to say. How to get along with the Lord. How to stay away from the devil. Lord, help us to see what's valuable and what's not valuable. Help us to put it in its proper perspective and its proper place. Teach me the way because I don't know the way. Which way is right? Which way do I go? He says here, he give the bread of adversity. You know the bread of adversity is the teacher? It's a teacher. It teaches you value. I don't like adversity. There's adversity everywhere. Everything that you try or attempt to do, you're going to have adversity. I noticed that today coming down here, it's a beautiful day. It's a tad windy for me. I don't like wind very much. So I started out today, Leah wanted to take a walk, the girls wanted to walk with us, so we started, well, we'll walk to the church. It was so pretty when I stepped out the door, the sun was shining. Of course, the wind's blocked there from the house quite a bit. We took off and we got just about the time we got to the post office, I said, if I knew that it was going to be like this, I would have never attempted to walk down here. We faced a gusty breeze. It was only 57. It was cold. The wind was blowing. It's adversity. It's adversity. I said the difference between a very pleasant day, a very pleasant walk to the chapel, and a very miserable one was the wind. The difference was the wind. It's adversity. You're not going to have adversity in everything you do. Everything's not going to be the same way. But the Lord says, I'm going to use this for a teacher. This will teach you quality. Have quality in your life. You're going to get some steel about you. You're going to get some knowledge and some understandings about things. You know, the way it comes in life is not through all the good things that come through the bad. Adversity. The water of affliction. You know what? I want to say this about affliction. Adversity. I think it's God's golden time in a human life. Because what it's all geared for is to be able to say, Lord, you have my attention. You have my attention. Is there anything that you want me to learn? Is there anything that you want me to know? I'm in a difficult place. I need the Lord. I need answers. I need something. It's the golden time. It's the time of teaching. The teachable moment that we all say, why? I noticed in the natural world, if something happens, I heard the other day there was a guy that, he was a young man, about 17 years old or something. I think they actually uncovered it in time that he was planning on, the way I understood it, that the guy was going to cause a diversion on the other side of town. Some kind of big diversion, explosion or fire or something, to get the authorities all over there towards that. And then he was going to go in and kill as many people in his school as he could kill. You know, when things like that happen, they uncovered it and found, and he had writings and had all these guns, he had all this stuff. But when things like that happen, it makes the society say, where are we at? What happened? What's causing this? What can we do better with life? That our young people doing that more and more and more doing it, it causes people to say, do you want to know? I mean, we have some people, we've got grandparents in here, parents in here, we got children, we got people to deal with. Do you want to know if there's any effects to violent videos or not? Do you want to know? Do you want to know that there's any effects that might affect your children and the way you speak to them, the way you talk to them? Is there anything that we may want to know that I may raise a child that has that kind of disposition to him? I would say yes. Yeah. Lord, teach us your way. Give us our teachable moments. Lord, help us not to just go stick our head in the sand with things, but when children do certain things, it's a time to respond and say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to do it. But somebody knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. And I believe this. I believe God loves us enough to intervene in our lives if we let Him. If we say, Lord, teach us how to raise our children. Lord, teach us how to get along with our neighbors. Lord, teach us how to be parents and grandparents. Teach us how. You know what the Lord will probably do? No, He probably won't say, oh, I did. You probably won't. That's not the way it works in my life most of the time. Oh, I've had the Lord say things to me, but that's not what I'm talking about. The Lord, most of the time, needs to get our attention to a teachable moment. And then when that teachable moment comes, it isn't the time to paralyze. It isn't the time to go ballistic. It isn't the time to lose our nerve. It isn't the time to be overshadowed by the grief of it. It's time to be teachable. The Lord wants to teach us. This very writer, David, got himself in trouble. I believe he recovered from it because he wanted to be teachable. He wanted to know, why did this happen to me? Lord, restore me back to the way I was. Lord, teach us to know. You know, the scripture talks about a besetting sin. Do you have a besetting sin? Do you have weaknesses about your life? Well, I'm going to tell you, I think if anybody would say no, that they would be the one that would need to be teachable. I mean, they need to get into the place to be teachable. Do you really know yourself? Do you know, I find that most of us don't really know ourselves the way, the image of who we create ourselves to be or make ourselves to be isn't really accurate. I run onto it quite often and I'm thinking about somebody else thinking, they don't understand themselves. What they're doing is that, isn't it? And then I have to turn and say, if other people are doing that and they're convinced, then am I seeing myself right? Do I know what I should guard myself against? Do I know what I'm doing? Well, the writer David said, teach me, Lord, the way, because I don't know it. And though the Lord give thee you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Now what's a teacher for? What's a teacher for? It's got something I don't have. The teacher has the information and the knowledge, and I don't have it. That's why I said, I always believe this. It's why I think the attack on prayer in school is, I think, was so such a, I think the devil won a pretty good battle there with that. Because, you know, when I was in school as a little fella, I naturally looked up to my teachers. Now, if I had a teacher that said that prayer was valuable, or let's pray before class, well, if I had a teacher like that, I wouldn't be impressive. You know why? Because they know what 2 + 2 was. They taught me that. They knew they knew the answers to the history questions. I didn't know them. The teachers knew the answers. And we, little children, looking up to them as a teacher, somebody that knew the answers, and then when one of them would say, the answer is prayer. Do you know how influencing that is to these little children? So the devil, he, of course, gets into that. It doesn't matter that I ain't saying about what religion or what their beliefs was. I'm saying just as a figure. Somebody in power and authority that knew answers that would suggest that God was important would leave a very impressive image on a child. Teachers, your eyes shall see your teachers. I think it's more than, I don't think this is referring to people. I think it's a statement of God's faithfulness to our lives, saying that if you'll be teachable, I will send your teachers. Yeah, they come in storms sometimes. They come in pain sometimes. They come in humiliation sometimes. they come in faults sometimes. But your teachers will stand up and be teachers. They're not hid away from you anymore. But your teachers will, you'll see your teachers, and then you'll be able to testify on Wednesday night. I saw my teacher. My teacher come and visited me this week. I got a teacher. It was humiliating. Taught me how to humble myself. One of our songs says, Lord, teach me. Wait? Don't we have a song that says, teach us, Lord, to wait? Well, what are you going to do if you don't wait? Lord, teach me how to wait. Teach me to have grace to wait with. Teach me the value of waiting. Lord, teach me because I don't know. You know the Lord will send you teachers? And sometimes they're not the what, they're bread of adversity and water of affliction. And their trouble and their breakdowns and their things going wrong, people misunderstanding, all the things, and there's the teacher. I prayed one time, Lord, I prayed for about a week. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I meant that, but I meant it. I'm going to tell you, in my mind, I was saying, Lord, I want to be more like you. Like the Lord sends this spirit, or sends this wave of influencing grace into my life. Lord, I want to be more like you. You know how the Lord answered my prayer? He riled my neighbor up against me. So the neighbor comes over, and I had been very faithful, purposely faithful, to help my neighbor anytime they needed help. At the instant they needed it, I tried always to do that. And the Lord had helped me to be able to do it. And then I get attacked. And I started telling the Lord about it. It was humiliating. I was put down. And I started telling the Lord about it. And I started saying, Lord, they did me wrong. And all I ever done to them was right. You get the point? Who's that sound like? I said, I prayed, I want to be more like the Lord. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. And when I got through telling the Lord what they had done to me and the way I had, well, all that I aimed to do, the Lord said, that's just what they did to me. You want to be more like me? You're more like me. I saw, my eyes saw my teacher. You want to be like the Lord? What do you want to be like, the one that can command the devil? You want to be one that can lay your hands on people and cure them of blindness? You want to be somebody that can bless a couple fish and some bread and feed 5,000 people, or change water to wine? Or you want to be like the Lord? There was a scribe one time that said to the Lord, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever you goeth. And he said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Oh, I just wanted to be the guy that turned the bread into something. I want to be somebody looked up to. I want to be somebody that don't own nothing. You want to be more like the Lord? Your eyes shall see your teachers. Jesus humbled himself before the wicked and evil people. You want to be like the Lord? My highest ambition, my number one desire of anybody I ever knew to be like, I won't be like Jesus. Well, he was reviled. He reviled not again. Your eyes shall see your teachers. If you desire to be like the Lord will give you a chance to be like him. And he'll send the teachers. But are we teachable? Brother Ed said to us ministers one time, you want more anointing in your ministry? You can have it. It's going to cost you something. said, all my life's experience is as a minister that gets more anointing, he gets more adversity. He gets more affliction. He gets more need. And the Lord gives him more anointing because of the need that he reaches out with. My eyes, your eyes shall see their teachers. Got another scripture I want to look at in 2 Timothy. I want to read a little bit here. Third chapter of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You think about how wise, how technological, intellectual, how much understanding, it goes beyond my mind how the internet was created. It goes beyond my mind how they send things into orbit, calculate speeds and all the things that they do. Very technical, ability to look into germs and microorganisms and do all that. They can take a little bit of saliva or blood or a hair or a flake of skin and match it to your DNA, tell you how you're made, the link of information that's in that, and do all those kind of things. That's pretty incredible. It's ever learning, isn't it? It's knowledge. Where do you suppose if the Lord tarries will be 50 years from now at the current rate of technology? They say, those that know that kind of thing, say that right now the ability to do it is here more than it's ever been before. Understand, with the computer age and the ability to do the different things, the more is here to do it. They're starting to make invisible things by bending light rays. You ever hear of that? I understand it quite a bit because I was in surveying. I know light rays bend. And now they're making fiber optic things that if you look at it, the fiber optics have the ability to show you the backside of it. So an object, they make them now, they say, but it's blurry. It's not really good, but if they could set it in front of you, or you could wear a shirt with that on it, and it actually just show the bends behind you. If you looked at it from any directions, it's fiber optics, and you only see the light that bends around it, and that kind of stuff. It's pretty technical. That's what I'm saying. But the ability through the computer age and the understandings is on a fast track. Ever learning, more abilities to do and to go and to change. I heard recently that life expectancies took another big jump, and now it's way up there, higher than it's ever been before. All that seems to be good. So ever learning. We know more, we can do more. Our children are more adept to things than my children, can go all over computers way better than I can. Do all those stuff and just in them to do it and play the games and do that. Ever learning, ever just all this information and ever learning. But never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know that we can learn and be in an information age and learn and all this and never come to the knowledge of what the truth is? Well, the truth about what? Microorganisms? Or truth about genetics? No, the truth about me. Ever learning, but never coming to the truth about God. Never coming to the truth about what it's all about. Where's it all? What is it all about? What's it all about? Ecclesiastes, the end of that book, said, fear God and keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. Searching, looking, wondering. Hubble telescope was put out there in space so that it would be no interference, so that it would be able to see back. And because light has time, you have to follow this, but it's true. Light has time that they could actually look into the past. A past coming. Light has time, and if you can look back, far enough back into that, what already has happened is just arriving to us. So they can see what's going to be, tell the future. I mean, it's beyond my mind. Ever learning, reaching, wondering, what more can we do? How better can we farm? How can we make more? In our own lives, we can get into the same thing. We can ever learn. We can learn more to do this. We can learn to do that. And never be teachable to the things of God. Never become better Christians. Never become more what God would have us to be. Lord, help us that we would be teachable. That's my burden for today. The Lord would help us to be teachable to the things of God, that we would understand more about what God would have us to do, more about myself, less self-denial, more teaching about who I am. For this says ever learning. We learn more of this, we learn more of that. The amount of things that makes life better, I appreciate all of them. I'm still thankful and amazed at the fact that I can get up on any particular morning in West Virginia, and before the sun sets on a summer day, I can be all the way in southwest Missouri, Oklahoma area before the sun goes down. That just amazes me. That's 1,000+ miles, and I can get up one day and be over there before the sun sets. I can be that far away. It just amazes me. Ever learning, we have better vehicles than we've ever had. My first vehicles I remember the one of the first ones I had, it got 70,000 miles on it. That was a lot of miles on it. 70,000 miles was a lot of miles on a vehicle. That old van out there has 240, and we hadn't had any mind about changing it out. Just runs good. They're just doing so much more with every, the understandings are so much more. And so, suppose we do get, better things. We understand more. We have more time now than we ever had, don't we? Nobody's busy. Cause we got all these things that helps us out in time, right? We're busier than ever. Everywhere I go, people just running full tilt, busy, 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 busy. Just can't keep busy, busy with all the modern equipment to do everything with, just busier, busier, busier. Ever learning more, knowing more, doing more, getting more done, and never really coming to the fact or the acknowledge. Let me tell you some truths that you can't do without. You are an everlasting soul. You need to know it. You need to know that this life's fleeting and that you are an everlasting soul. Whatever you learn or know here, and if you don't make it right for over there, you need to know this truth. This is a truth. Never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You need to know this truth. Brother Carl said many times, at the end of every man's God. You need to know that. Very well know and be acquainted with the idea that the end of every man's God. Every one of us is going to have to meet the deeds done in this body. According to the scriptures, we're going to have to know. We need to know that what I do on this earth, whether I get by with it on this earth or I don't get by with it on this earth, is still relative to whether or not I'm going to get by with it. I was in the Webster County Courthouse the day that O.J. Simpson's verdict come in on his trial for murder of his ex-wife, Nicole, and what was the other guy's, Goldman, I think was his name. And when they said not guilty, I remember there was one woman in particular, she said, I knew he wasn't guilty. I said, no. It just means that he didn't get caught. It means, you know, if he did it, he's guilty. Here's the bottom line. We all need to know this fact. It don't matter what the earth says. Don't matter what the judges of the earth says or the juries of our peers says on this earth. What's going to matter is when we stand before God. That's what's going to matter. And do you know the scripture says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer in God. To God, you're a murderer. So we stand before God. This is a truth we need to know. Lord, teach us. Teach us in this life. Teach us to know. Teach us, Lord, how to live this life. Not only the teaching of knowledge, but teach us the way. How can I make it? How can I be successful? How can I be one of these senators? I'm going to tell you, the Church of God needs senators with wisdom. We have lost the generation, but there's generations coming on, and we need to know how the battles went. We need to know to stand there. Lord, teach us wisdom. I desire to be teachable before the Lord. Lord, help me to know how the Lord wants us to do it and what He wants us to do. You pray for me.